Blog Talk Radio. I'm Cindy Sansom-Braff, author of Grant Me a Higher Love and Why Good People Can't Leave Bad Relationships. I'm a woman on a mission, and that mission is to have you and everyone else have the best love life possible in this new millennium. But before this can happen, you're going to have to learn a few new tricks. Joining me tonight, as always, is my co-host and producer, Nicole. Nicole's a beautiful young woman, a writer, an entrepreneur, and a lesbian. Not necessarily in that order, and she's here to share her love stories and her war stories with us. She's the voice that will make all of us women stop blaming everything on the opposite sex, since Nicole knows women are making some of the same kinds of mistakes in their relationships with each other. Well, hello, Nicole. How are you this evening?
I am well, Cindy, and how are you?
Everything's good. You sound a little more rested. Am I right here? It sounds a little like she's rested. Did you rest at all?
I have been somewhat resting, but I've also, like I tell everybody, you know, usually I go off of my diet for the summertime and I'm back on. So I've been eating better and I've been, not having as much alcohol and not having as much snacks. So, I'm feeling a little bit my cravings, but ultimately I'm feeling much better than I was.
Oh, good.
Eat right, because, people. You know, it makes a difference.
Oh, I know. And, you know, it's funny because junk food, you know, just like takes from the body. It doesn't add to it. You know what I mean? It gives you calories, makes you fat, but it certainly doesn't
really
give you
good
energy. And
no,
it gives you crashing.
It tastes really good. It gives you energy for like 2 seconds and then you're done.
Right. And then you crash. And it's not lasting and does all kinds of crazy things with your blood sugar and your hormones. So, yeah, if you haven't been eating that well during COVID, everybody, now it's time to stop, eat better.
Oh, yeah.
And we're not all dying tomorrow, so we can't have the excuse like, oh, if I was going to die, I should eat and all that ice cream and that crap. Well, you know, it looks like we're here now, so we have to start eating better. It's not always easy because especially you work a lot of hours, so sometimes – when we don't eat well, it's because we're eating on the run, you know, and we just kind of grab something and then, you know, it just doesn't satisfy us and we feel like we haven't eaten and then we eat again. But I'm glad. And is your wife on board with your new healthier lifestyle?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. She's, she's been going, you know, very, very hard at the gym, you know, and so, she's very, very happy that I'm getting back into my routine and working out again. Because, you know, I mean, I always start out the summer slow because, you know, I'm on a very specific diet. And it's not like, I mean, people can maintain it for years, obviously. But for me, who's an absolute foodie, it's a little bit more difficult to maintain. So I'm like, you know what, if I put in all my work, you know, all year round and I'm only taking holidays off, you know, so my next cheat day is going to be, you know, probably I'm going to start incorporating, you know, some stuff back in, and then, you know, my birthday, Christmas, obviously, you know, I do a little cheat there as well. And then after that, it's back, you know, I'm hardcore until Memorial Day, you know, and then Memorial Day, I kind of get to do what I want. So I always go in a little bit slow and then, you know, come, but by the time August hits, I'm full blown out of diet. So, you know, that's why it's always harder to go back when you're that far gone, but you know, it's pretty, I'm feeling much better now that I'm doing it. So,
good. I'm glad to hear it. I could tell the difference in your voice. you sound like healthier and better. So,
sugar, you know.
Yeah. Well, it's actually kind of addictive sugar. So you kind of have to quit the habit because, you know, if you don't eat it, you don't crave it. But if you eat it, you crave it. So,
well, that's what's actually kind of funny, too, is that when I first started going off diet, it's like, oh, yeah, there's a piece of cake. Yeah, I'll have a piece of cake. I barely have cake all year. And then, like, my first piece of cake, I'm like, oh, my God, it's so sweet. I can't, you know. And then by the end of summer, I'm like, yeah, I'll have 2 pieces. You know, it's like, you know, it's crazy. But, you know, listen, it's. All about being healthy, you know. And it's okay to go off the rails sometimes as long as you don't make a bad habit of it. And then, you know, you go back on and you do your thing, so.
Exactly. Well, I'm very proud of you, and you have us to support
you
here. And we have a lot of listeners tonight. If you want to talk to us, you have to press 1, please, because I know the 631-6749 number, which is quite a ways down, she hasn't pressed 1, so we can't get you on the air unless you press the number 1. Yep, she did it. Good listener.
There she goes.
That's Patricia. She's called in before. She's been a client for a very long time. So I'm just going to pick up her, and then you could maybe screen whoever else might want to talk to us tonight.
Absolutely, I will.
Hi, Patricia. You're live and on the air.
Hi, Cindy. How are you, honey?
Good. It's so funny because another Patricia messaged me, emailed me earlier about a reading, and for some reason I had you in my mind, and I realized later on that it wasn't you. And then, like a few hours later, you contact me. Is that not funny? That I swore it was you, and then here you are. How is everything going with you during all this COVID and everything?
I have to say, all is well. You know, we're all, thank God, staying physically well. We're doing our masks and our distancing and our good hygiene. It's hard because I'm with teenagers. You know, I have to remind them, you know, put on your mask, carry a mask, you know, wash your hands. You know, when I transport back and forth to football and, you know, I have to wear a mask if I'm in the car with him because he's exposed to other kids. But, you know, we're doing what we can. And
wow.
I feel good.
Good. And Marie was here to thank you today, by the way, for everything you're doing. And
Marie.
I think that's her name. She's someone that knows you from the other side. That's
Anne-Marie, my daughter-in-law, Anne-Marie.
Yes. Anne-Marie, because I heard the report Marie. Anne-Marie is wanting to say thank you for everything you're doing right now.
Oh, my God, I talk to her every day.
You must, because she was here. That's why I thought it was you originally with the Patricia, because she was here earlier today. So obviously she knew you were going to contact me today, okay? So obviously she's wanting you to hear that thank you. She misses her kids.
Oh, of course, you're doing fine. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, she knows. She says thanks to you. Everybody's doing fine. Okay. I mean, she knows that. And, you know, if you need help in any way, just keep talking to her because she's always around.
Yeah.
Always. Now, you must have something on your mind that you feel like you need a little bit of a reading. Is there a question or a specific?
Well, it's been a long time. I just... is there anything that's hanging loose in my life? Not really. I think I've got my ends all sewed together. I have hobbies. I've made some friends. My mental state is far better than it was when I first left to come down here because my grief has subsided. And I'm doing things that keep me mentally acute. I did have one issue, which was whenever I would get highly emotional, my throat would close up.
Oh, yeah. That's
so
common.
My communication would get pretty crappy. So what happened was I decided that I would take singing lessons. It helps with breathing. And it helps with, obviously, physically and spiritually and emotionally, mentally. So... now I'm being challenged to do the more classical stuff, which is difficult for me. I'm a jazz person.
Wow.
So to form those high notes in classical operatic style is difficult. I don't love it, but I'm trying to do it, and I want to get the communication pieces back on board because I believe that my story is big. And it could help a lot of people, but I don't know which way to put it, how to put it together, why it's so hard for me to put it together. How do I get past whatever it is that's keeping me from doing what I hope to do? I figured, you know what,
chicken. Okay, well, you know what, you're a very old soul, and older souls tend to have this, like, inner saboteur that gets in the way of things, and because they tend to judge everything while they're doing it, instead of just, like, letting the creative process flow a little bit. And the best place to begin is to just begin wherever you feel like and try not to judge it until, you know, you start giving yourself a little time. Because this is, a pretty big project that you're embarking on, but can you see that you're getting in your own way?
Yeah.
I mean, if this was your daughter, what would you tell Kristen to do if it was,
I have to tell you that I don't really see the critics so much anymore. I'm older now, and I don't pay attention to that nonsense. It just feels like number one, overwhelming. It feels, number two, I don't know who my audience really is. If I know that there's someone out there that I'm specifically talking to, it flows like crazy. But if I'm just, like, sitting down and trying to put it on paper for the heck of it, it's not helping. Nothing comes. So part of it is that there's a lot of pieces to it. And here's my problem. It's not the critic. I overcomplicate things.
Right, of course. But that's also the critic, because the critic is the one that overcomplicates it. It just won't let it be simple. It just won't let it be simple, okay? I mean, you're in good company with this. I mean, Beethoven hated to begin a symphony because he knew it would be his obsession for four or five years. And he would much rather write a small piece, like a small, piece of music, 15-minute one, 5-minute, 10-minute, because the symphonies would overwhelm his mind. And it was the same thing. I mean, he would sometimes be thinking about a particular symphony for 20 years before he embarked on it.
Exactly right, yeah.
So you're in good company with that. And the best place to begin is wherever you want to begin. And also, you need the fact that you said, I don't know who my audience is pretty important. It's like if I'm writing a book, I have to know, is this a children's book? Am I writing it for children? Am I writing it for, people who are familiar with the topic? Am I writing it for people who may be very skeptical of my topic? So it's kind of like figuring out who your audience is. And that's maybe where you want to meditate a little bit. Who's your audience? Okay, so is it adults? Let's start with that.
Probably, because I don't feel like I'm that good with kids.
Okay, so we already got something down there. Is it more for women, or is it more for men? Is it for all genders or anything? Do you have a feeling on that?
I really don't know. I think I think the tsunami that we went through as a family covers a lot of ground, and it covers men and women. And, I think, what happened was my son was widowed at a very young age, and you don't hear people talking about what happens to young male widows and who have children. He says to me, how did you do it? How did you raise us as a single mother? How did you do that? Because he sees how difficult it is to go to work and take care of a house and take care of children and all of that. And I'm blessed. I thank God that I was able to be helpful. I thank God that it worked out that I was able to do that. But I think that there's a little bit of information for everybody.
So that's something. But basically, you're trying to tell this particular story that could be anyone who's been through loss and how they recover. But because it's, a specific thing, a man, what he went through, focus on that particular aspect of it, because I think that's what's appeal. Because in the specifics is how you get, the general. Everyone can relate to that. And the best place to begin, is the beginning. You know, you have a beginning, a middle, and end here, but try outlining a little bit where you want to be doing and what's the theme of it. What is your overall theme you're trying to get across here? Is it one of hope? Is it, you know, think about that, because you have a theme. Do you have a title? Because sometimes a title can help a lot. You know, so,
well, I mean, that has changed over time. Obviously, when I first got here, I mean, the grief was so intense. It was so heavy. It was like, it was almost unmanageable. And it wasn't that we were walking around. I mean, it wasn't a day that I didn't cry about something. But I wasn't crying in front of the family. You know, it was, okay, 15 steps to the cabinet to get the cereal just felt like I was walking a mile to the store, you know? And so what has transpired over time is that it really is a day-by-day process. It is about, you know, not absorbing all of the energy that's around you that's so heavy, and trying to wade through it all to find out what's yours and what's somebody else's. Because I was in a house full of grieving people, animals even, you know? Everybody was affected by it. So I don't know, Cindy, this might not even be the topic. But
well,
it is the topic
because Anne Marie said she's going to write it with you. So I think you need to sit her down when you're writing this, A. And B, she said you're making a tsunami out of the book. In other words, you take it one day at a time, the book, one step at a time, one page at a time. Because you're not doing what you just talked. What you have to do to get through anything is one step at a time. And just start with something. Normally, as a writer, sometimes a title will inspire me, or a theme will inspire me, or a message that I want to get out. And, you know, when you're doing this, I would advise you, it's like when I'm writing Confessions of a Reluctant Long Island Psychic, I sometimes just write what comes to me that day about something, and I just put it down, but I'm not sure where it belongs. And later on, I'll figure that out. But I know that two pages just flowed out of me, and it belongs in the book. I'm not sure where, but I will find it out. So you might want to just start writing almost what comes to you for the next month or so. And then at the end of that month, give it like a week or two break, and then look back at it, and you'll kind of start to see a book emerging.
Okay.
But, you know, your daughter-in-law wants to write it with you. So I think, you know, I mean, she was here hounding me all day, enough to make me think another Patricia was you today that had messaged me. Okay? Like, if that isn't crazy, she can hound me like that. And then I couldn't believe it when I realized, like, no, that's not Patricia's last name. That's a different Patricia. But why did she make me think it was you? You know, because A, she's here, and she, you know, but B, she wants to help with this. And, you know, just try to make it fun. Again, old souls are very guilty of overcomplicating things. They don't know how to simplify. And when they do, I don't know, they're their own worst critic. But I found that, you know, you might want to also go to the library. I don't know if they're open in Georgia now, but. Okay, well, then look online for books that are sort of memoirs about grieving, that you might want to read one or two of them, because you can kind of see what they did, and as you're reading it, write down and jot down things, because it will probably stir up your mind about things that you want to mention or bring in. So you might want to start with something like that too. Look at what someone else has done in this particular genre, and it definitely is something you're meant to do. It's part of your mission. So, you know, I don't think God's going to let the thought of doing this out of your head. When it's a mission, it's not going to go away. So give it some time, and, you know, set a little bit of a goal for yourself that, you know, you want to write a page a day or something like that. Once you start doing it, the memory starts getting stirred. That's the whole point. When you start anywhere, you start remembering stuff, and then the universe starts bringing pieces back to you. And we get what's called waking dreams when we're writing. Something will happen that will say, oh, yeah, I remember when something like that happened. It just stirs up our memory. So just begin And don't judge it. You know, give it some time and space, and then later on, that's what, you know, writing is always rewriting. But the first flow of thoughts is always something that you'll never be able to duplicate again. So when I did Confessions, I wrote the first draft very fast. And now I'm in it. But it is probably the best thing to do with it because it gave it a flow or something like that. So why don't you just try to write fast instead of overthinking it, and then you can always go back. So, you know, give yourself a little time to just enjoy the process too.
Okay.
And, you know, call in and let us know if, you know, something doesn't stir up in your brain. You know, it's a book is a long process. It's not an easy process. And, you know, there's a lot of our listeners that are actually writers, and they all struggle with this. Everybody struggles with it. Where do I begin? So, you know, where do I begin? How do I start? But you kind of, you know, maybe could even think about writing the story of this very, in, you know, 5 pages, like the beginning, middle, and end, in 5 pages. And then that kind of gives you a small little bit of work. You know, they say, okay, now I can elaborate on this. But you have the biggest things going on. And, you know, people need to know how they get through grieving and how they get to the other side. It's an enormous process, grieving. And, you know, I don't think we ever fully get over it, but we learned to go forward. And, you know that you're meant to do this. And I hope that you will bring your daughter-in-law with you when you sit down next time, because otherwise you're going to haunt me, you know.
Well, I will. I mean, I have more people on the other side than I have really here. You know, I have my nuclear family and I have a few friends, but I mean, I've lost a lot of people in my life, a lot, my family, my friends, and now I'm of an age where it's just going to happen more and more. So, I understand that grief is something everybody has to contend with at some point or another. And, you know, like we have a neighbor who just had to put a year-old dog down, just 1, 2, 3, because there was cancer without even, you know, like no signs. And then all of a sudden he stopped eating. And so, I mean, it's all around. And that kind of grief is just as impactful as losing, you know, her child or her spouse. It's just that painful.
Wow.
And, you know, so I understand them, and we are people of faith, right? We know that life goes on, and that there's life on the other side, and that there's a big cloud of witnesses that want us to succeed and are pulling for us. I get all of that. It's just, you know, day-to-day stuff gets in the way, plus this whole idea of my communicating doesn't feel like it flows well, so.
Right, and just, you know, do it, and of course, people really need some good books on how to get through the grieving process and what they could do. And it's your story, you know, and people love to hear stories and memoirs. Those sorts of books are like the best-selling books right now. People love to read them. They love to hear how people get through their life and through their struggles. And, you know, so do it and call in again and let us know how it goes.
I will. And
I'm not worried about you because I think you needed to call in because, you know, your daughter-in-law just wanted to let you know, I'm here to help. I'm going to help. Okay. She's antsy for a project, that one. So, you know, and she'll help stir your memory of things you might have forgotten.
Okay.
So she'll put a thought in your head. It's called ghosting your mind. She'll start talking to you telepathically, and all of a sudden you'll start writing stuff down. And you go, boy, I forgot all about that. But that's her job. Because she's observed the whole situation very closely because, you know, these are her children. This is her world. So she hasn't forgotten anything. So she's your best editor and writer.
Okay.
Well, good luck to you. And have a great weekend, and we're going to try to get another caller. Thanks for calling in.
Thank you so much, dear.
Bye.
Care. Bye.
Bye. Okay, now my cell phone started to ring, so I had to run out of the room. And it looks like Andrew FaceTime butt called me because I see he's listening to the show. So,
oh, that's so funny.
Andrew, I think your butt called me during my show, okay?
Stop butt calling Cindy.
Okay. And
Andrew's ass really wanted to speak to you.
I guess so. But I had to run out of the room because I couldn't shut the volume off fast enough.
Oh, my goodness.
Okay. And I didn't know the volume was on because I don't usually keep my cell phone volume on. So, okay.
Yep.
So we have Sharon. And, oh, this looks sad. So maybe you could help us with this. Has Sharon ever called into our show before?
You know what? I didn't ask. So, you know, basically, you know, Sharon is a little bit lost right now. You know, she's having some trouble processing. She lost her son back in August, which is only, you know, we're only on the 10th here. So, you know, you're talking about only 4 weeks ago. You know, basically, you know, she just needs some help. She needs some guidance. And, you know, she just kind of wants to know what your advice is on helping her process and, you know, and see where to go from here. So here we go.
Don't you think
Sharon
it's interesting? Don't you think it's interesting that Patricia was talking about writing a book on grieving and how to get through it?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah.
It's not a coincidence.
100%. Not a coincidence at all. But here we go out to Sharon. Hello, Sharon. You're on the air.
Hi.
Hi, Sharon. I'm so sorry for your loss. And there's probably no words.
I came to see you like once, and then I talked to you a couple of times on the radio.
That's what I thought, because I thought you were my Sharon that I've read before, because I kind of got that energy that, you know, this is not a Sharon I haven't spoken to before.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm glad that you thought of me during this time. First of all, you know, your son has made a pretty smooth transition to the other side. He's learning how to communicate. It takes a little time to learn how to communicate, but he's actually a fairly decent communicator. Was he a good communicator on Earth? Because he talks a lot.
Yeah, he does talk a lot.
I mean, he's talking a lot, okay? You know, I would just tell you that I'm not always fully able to understand him. It's almost like when you know how like babies think they're talking and they keep babbling and they think they're saying something, but when people are recently dead, it's kind of like that. Like every two words I can understand what he's trying to say, and then there's a little babbling. But what he wanted to say is that you were the best mother. That part I heard from him. Do you realize you were a very good mother?
Yeah. Even though he was 42, he kept telling everybody, "I'm a mama's boy."
Oh, yeah. You know, you were, I'm telling you, you know, you're the best mom. And he's trying to make peace with what happened. He's apologetic to you, too. Do you know what all that's about?
I kind of think so.
Okay, because he just said, tell her I'm sorry.
A drug problem for a lot of years. But then I really thought that he was coming around and he was doing really good. But for some reason, as soon as this happened, I mean, his father and I haven't been together in years, but his father kept saying, "It's my fault. It's my fault." And that's bothering me.
No. First of all, that's the one thing about your son. I will tell you this. He's pretty accountable for his actions. That's why he said he's sorry. Okay, he's not blaming you or your husband. He may have blamed some of that on Earth because, you know, that's what people do. And, you know, he's trying to say, you know, you were a good parent. It's not Dad's fault. I mean, he was clean for a while. That much I could tell you. He seemed to have fallen off the wagon.
But his dad had a tendency to enable him, and that's what my fear is.
Right. Well, again, he wasn't telling the whole truth at the end. I mean, you can't tell people if they don't tell you the truth. Do you realize he wasn't telling you everything that was going on with him?
He was always trying to protect me from everything. But he just, when his dad kept saying that to me, it's like bothering me, like, what exactly happened? I don't know.
Well, part of it is, you know, sometimes your husband, you know, your ex would enable him, but he wasn't meaning to do harm. And, you know, he's just saying, please don't take it out on Dad, okay?
Right.
I mean, he has some issues with his father. He has some issues with his father, okay? But he's saying don't take it out on Dad. Okay, like, he's taking full responsibility. You know, he showed the cards he showed me right in a row were the tower card, which looks like people jumping out of a building, and the devil next to it. Like, he's that card showing that he's responsible for his behaviors. And some of the people he was around, he should have stopped hanging around. I don't, you know, like, because you can't resist temptation. The latest studies on temptation is if you love chocolate cake, well, then you can't be near someone eating chocolate cake. You're going to eat it. Mm. You're drugs, you have to get rid of your friends who are doing drugs. And unfortunately, I mean, did you get back the blood work yet at all?
No, no.
Because it looks like you're going to probably...
It's because of COVID, they're like 4 to 6 months behind. And that's why I don't know. I don't know.
You know, because it looks to me like... he may have fentanyl in his bloodstream when they do it. You know, he's gave me the rest in peace card too. He's like, I want you to know it's good up here. Okay, he said it's good. He's also with a grandmother of his. Do you know which one that would be?
Oh,
that
my mom.
The mom, because he said grandma yelled at him when he came up. By the way, like.
Yeah.
She yelled at him, and then she gave him a big hug, but he's with her. Like, she seems to be the one. Remember I told you she, you know, he made a nice transition pretty much because she crossed him over. Okay, that's what she did. And
I know if he was with anybody, it would be her.
Oh, yeah. And, of course, you know, he's also... with a man that you were with for a long time who died. Do you know who that would be?
The what?
He says he's with a man that you loved or was with that died. Do you know who that would be?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. And he also yelled at him too. Okay. And so, and I know you didn't get to say goodbye to that man or to son, and they're both saying there's no goodbye. Okay, they're both around, and you know, your son is.
Cindy, can I ask you something?
Sure.
My son and I went to see my niece who was dying from brain cancer about 3 weeks before she died, and when we were leaving there, she said to my son, "I'll see you soon." And we didn't really understand what that was. He even said to me, Mom, what does that mean? And I said, I don't know. I said, you know, she's, you know, I don't know. And she died August 1st, and he died August 11th.
Is Cindy
Hello?
Not on the, oh, I'm sorry, Cindy seems to have dropped there, Sharon. Hold on just a second.
Okay.
Let's try to get her back on the line. Oh boy, figures, right? Right when you're in the middle of something important, she dropped out. I wonder what that's all about. I'm sure there'll be a deeper message in there. I hope, at least. All right. Sorry about that, guys. You know what? It was funny because this before we got on the air today, we actually said we didn't mention anything about having any technical difficulties. And here we go at 7:33, I believe it was, we started having technical difficulties. So my apologies. I see that Cindy has called back in, and here we go back out to Cindy.
And so has Sharon. She's back. So let's
No, Sharon never left. Only you left.
No, you know what it says on my machine? Call us Sharon, has dropped, and mine has dropped. Is that weird? It says both of us dropped.
Oh, yes. No, Sharon didn't go anywhere.
Okay, and the funny part about it is it's because when she was talking about what she was talking about, you know, psychically, she sort of blew the phone off here. My phone just, like, I had to switch to another phone. The phone just died, not from batteries or anything. It just died, okay? And mm-hmm. when she was talking about when her niece said, "I'll see you again," her niece...
I'll see you soon.
The niece started to talk and just sort of blew the whole thing off, okay? And what she's saying is that she was so close to death that she was already up in spirit a lot, gotten a life review. And she had actually seen some of your son's life review. And because he was sort of, as she's putting it, up to no good, the universe kind of thought if he doesn't clean up his act, he's going to come up soon. And she should have probably not said that, you know, like, that's why she shut off. It's almost like she wanted to tell us, I shouldn't have said that to him, but she wasn't really fully in her right mind. You know, she is apologetic for having said that because she knew it upset him. But she just said she saw something that there was a very strong possibility your son wasn't going to be alive much longer. She's pretty peaceful. Other than that, she got really upset about that situation. Like, I'm sorry. Like, I didn't mean to say something to upset anyone. Because she's a nice person, from what I could tell on the other side.
She's a really good person. Yeah.
And
they were very close because, you know, they grew up together.
I
don't know.
She's with him, you know, sometimes he hasn't, remember, he's recently dead. He hasn't seen everybody yet. You know, she's been near him too, but part of it is that she was so upset about what she had said. Again, I don't think she was fully cognizant of what she was saying, but she had seen part of his life review. You know, your son's, you know, you have a daughter-in-law. Not his, but do you have another daughter-in-law?
Yeah.
Because, you know, she seems to be upset by all this too. Everything that's happened. He seems to feel more terrible about everybody else than himself. You know, he's saying the serenity prayer. He's accepting what he can't change. And, you know, he said, we'll meet again, but not for a long time, Mom. He likes music. Do you listen to music? Because he likes when music's playing.
Yeah, he loves music.
And he wants you to get signs from him. Have you gotten any yet?
I have to tell you that he and I both watch country music. And this time that the radio just comes on. And it's always a country song. I mean, just comes on. It doesn't even on.
Now, that's when he's allowed down on earth, okay? And when he's down on earth, he's putting on the music for you, okay? You have to know he's down visiting when he does it. They can't do that in spirit. They need to be with their energy body down on earth. But, you know, he's a lot of fun. I mean, he must have been a lot of fun on earth at times too, because he's fun. He wants you to have fun. And please.
He was the only one that could make me laugh.
Well, I can understand why you could laugh, because he really is very funny. Part of it is he goes, like, this is supposed to be, he doesn't know if it's supposed to be serious or if he's allowed to be funny. I go, the dead are usually pretty funny, okay? They don't want us to be sad. They don't. They want us to be happy, and you know, again, he's stressing you're a good mother, and you know that he will continue to give you signs. He'll get to be a better communicator. He's only very recently dead. He's not bad for someone recently dead, but it's kind of like learning Chinese. It's a little complicated. The most important thing he says is, don't blame Dad. Did he ask his father for money sometimes?
All the time.
Because it's what the situation seems to be, more that your ex gave him money. And maybe he feels like maybe that's what he feels like he used to, you know, to do whatever he was doing. But he said Dad meant well. And, you know, he has to live with whatever he thinks he did. But your son is basically saying it's his fault. It's his own fault. Okay.
Yeah.
You know,
okay.
It's nice to hear someone take responsibility. And, you know, again, him and his father had certain issues, but he loved his dad, you know. And he loves you very much, too. And this is something that, you know, he's sorry to have caused you this much pain. Again, your mother's yelling at him, okay? Like, how could you do this to my daughter? You know, it's your, and also he's with, you know, we were talking about the man. He said something about Puerto Rico, the man. Do you know what that's about?
Yes.
Okay, because your son said he would like you to visit Puerto Rico and this man too, so they can all go visit with Puerto Rico with you one of these days when the world opens up. So
Michael and I talked about going to Puerto Rico.
Oh, isn't that funny?
Because that's son's name. He said, Mom, we need to take a vacation and let's go to Puerto Rico.
Yep, because that's what he just said to me now. He says, talk about Puerto Rico, let's go. So you know that it's me talking to him because, like, all the places in all the world.
I know.
Puerto Rico.
Like, oh, my goodness.
I mean, there's a million places in the Naked City here. But he knew, he said, we can still go to Puerto Rico. What he's trying to tell you is allowed down on earth. So if you go to Puerto Rico, he's going to be able to go visit with you. So he said,
okay,
we're going to Puerto Rico. Okay. When the world opens up, that's where we're going.
I can't believe you said that because that's something we talked about like a week before.
Yep. Well, he said, that's what he said. That doesn't mean we can't go now, is what he said. Okay. So, I mean, he goes, I'm getting my Puerto Rico trip when we can. That's what he cares about. So, and he wanted you to laugh because he's, I told you, he's a very good communicator. You know, the thing about it is he hasn't had his complete life review yet. It takes upwards of 10 years. But he hasn't had enough life review, and I had to kind of tell him, please don't say anything that isn't healing, helpful. If you're not sure if it's healing or helpful, I would advise you to refrain from saying it until you've really done your life review, particularly the part about how and why of his death. Okay,
right.
So that's why he's, you know, he kind of...
Is he okay?
He said, I'm in a good realm, okay? I'm in a good space. There's a special realm opens up on the other side for modern people that have abused drugs because, look, they're not held fully accountable. Our generation is going to answer to God for the fact that we did not address the drug problem soon enough, fast enough, hard enough, okay? Like, they, you know, it's everywhere. It's a drug-infested culture. Part of why God shut down the world with COVID, he wanted kids away from schools. He wanted them away from colleges because it's where they're buying drugs. And there's a 1 in 4 chance right now you're going to die of an overdose from fentanyl if you're taking street heroin, oxycodone, Xanax, because it's all cut with fentanyl. So
it's
something that, and it's really bad right now how much it's in there. So, he hasn't really had that part of his life. God puts you in a nice realm. You get used to it. You have visitors. You just, and then becomes the hard process of like a life review for all of us. So he just wanted you to know God is good. He's with nice people up here. He's going to go to Puerto Rico with you. He's going to keep turning on the music because he likes it. And, that God is very fair is what he said. Okay?
That's good.
God is very fair. And I can't believe the way your niece, when she started speaking, just blew the whole, she just blew my phone out. I mean, just blew it out. Okay? Because she wished she hadn't, she was trying to show me that she wished she had said nothing then.
Yeah.
And again, I don't think it was wrong that she said it because I think Spirit used her at that moment to tell it so that when he died a few weeks later, you would have kind of known it was written in stone already, that the decision had been made
already. That's the first thing I thought about.
That's what she said. Couldn't have stopped this, okay? The universe had already decided. So, you know, and your son again said, you know, tell her what you always tell people. Like, he's been here all day, okay? He must have heard me talking all day. God tries to save people's immortal soul. If you're going to start using drugs heavier and heavier, you're just going to ka-ching up negative karma, particularly if you drive under the influence, you could kill somebody. Then you can't go in this good realm on the good side. So the teenagers or the people, young people that overdose always tell me, our immortal soul is better than our shit-ass body, is how young people say it. So he says his immortal soul is in a good place.
Okay, I'm glad.
And of course, your mom, he calls him, your mom's giving me hell, is what he says. So. and your mother's going
to beg him to get his life together.
And just, I'm so sorry about your loss.
Thank you, Cindy.
And please call in again because he's a chatterbox, okay?
Yes, he is.
You know, and again, I keep telling him, you know, you got to talk slower because I can't hear it as fast as you're speaking. And then I realize he hasn't fully mastered communication. So it's like almost like a broken cell phone. I'll hear certain things, but other things he said so clearly, but other things get broken. But I'm not so sure if spirit isn't breaking them, like they stop my phone, because if he says something he's not supposed to say, then he can be in trouble. So I have a feeling that maybe being censored a tad bit, you know, by the other side.
Thank you so much, Cindy.
Well, good luck
to
you, and please, again, we're here for you.
Bye. Okay, thanks so much, Cindy.
Bye-bye. Bye. Oh, Nicole, the world is such a world full of pain.
I know.
It's a world full of pain.
That's why I'm happy that we were able to get Sharon on tonight, because, you know, I've always said this, especially because I know people who lost children much younger than her son is. But I mean, at any age, no parent should have to outlive their child. You know, that is probably one of the most heartbreaking things, no matter how old that child is. You know, so I'm glad that we got to, you know, that you know, her son came through, and I'm glad that we were able to get Sharon on tonight.
Oh, me too. And again, you could see how spirit does shuts things down, won't let. You know, cuts things out. And I'm pretty sure that they were censoring him, actually, okay? Because
A,
we're
sure
on the radio.
I'm pretty sure too, because everybody was fine. And because you know me, because, like, you know, listen, you know, I have my wife in the other room practicing drums, so I've been muting my phone, even though my mic is on, I'm muting my phone, just, you know, so that I'm canceling out any background noise. And all of a sudden, you're gone, and I hear Sharon, hello, hello. And I'm like, oh my God! You know, like what's going on?
The odd thing about it, though, is on my computer it says it's having trouble has dropped, and then mine says has dropped. It says having trouble has dropped.
I don't even know what the hell that means.
Me neither. So having trouble. So I think pretty much spirit wrote that down for me.
Yeah, probably.
So, to let me know that, you know, the niece had done something with that, and again, she just wanted to let us know she should have shut up.
Well, message came through loud and clear.
Oh yeah.
You know, and I do hope that Sharon calls in again so that we, you know, we can see how she's doing, and you know, hopefully, you know, her son will keep coming through stronger and stronger as time goes on,
so that
we can get a little bit of solace.
The way that our clients, our listeners know that they can call in here, like with these things, because that's what we're here for. I mean,
yeah,
you
absolutely.
Know, once a week, you know, if you've got an issue, well, that's what we're here for, you know.
Absolutely.
And okie dokie. Now, did you screen anyone else by any chance?
I did. Mm-hmm. I did. We have Nancy. Nancy is also from Long Island. And she called in last week, Cindy. And basically, you gave her some advice. She took some advice, and now she wants to know what to do now. So here we go out to Nancy.
Okay, Nancy, thanks for
calling. Hello, Nancy. You are on the air.
Oh, hello.
Okay, Nancy, so can you fill in our listeners a little bit what we said last week? Because some of them didn't listen last week, so they won't know what we're talking about.
Okay, so basically last week I just wanted to do like a check-in basically, and everything was well, of course, but then you were like, there's a question about your love life. And of course there was a question about that. I had been talking to this one person for 2 months, and for some reason he just kept on putting excuses as to, you know, like why we couldn't have a relationship. Like we were dating, but like it wasn't official or anything. And he would break up, but the next day he would like text me like nothing happened, and I was just so confused. And deep down I knew what I had to do, because, you know, him breaking up and then being there the next day, just, you know, I didn't want a friend or anything. And basically you confirmed everything that I needed to know, and you told me like, let him go, you have to, like, you know, he has to fear losing you. And so I kind of like texted him and I told him that I couldn't be friends, that's not what I wanted. And I've had, like, you know, a roller coaster of emotions up and down, of course. You know, at moments I'm very, very happy with what I did. And then, of course, I have my down moments. So I just want to kind of, like, I don't know, speak to you, because you just make me feel so much better and, like, give me hope.
Well, that's what we're here for. And, excuse me, but you did the right thing, because it doesn't mean it's over. It means he's got to realize he's going to lose you if he doesn't step up to the plate. But you can't back down now in a moment of weakness and call him, because that's just going to sabotage everything you just did, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, he's a person who is feeling bad about this, because he really wanted to, like, kind of string you along and, you know, have this going on for, like, a year the way it is. Kind of surprised what you did. Did he express that to you, that he was surprised?
Yeah, he said that. He goes, he's like, he goes, just, wow, it really put a tear in my eye losing you as a friend. And I'm like, are you kidding me? Like, he doesn't even understand how much I've been crying.
Right.
But yes, he did express something like that.
Because he thought, like most women nowadays, you were just going to let him come and go as he pleases. I will tell you, if you didn't do what you were going to do, you would be in for a solid year of this back and forth mixed messages. That would have made you crazy. Now, you know, it's not the worst odds I've ever seen about someone coming back and doing what they're supposed to do. It's probably a 60% chance he'll come back and do what he's supposed to, 40 he won't. But that's not bad. That's not the worst odds. I usually see like really bad odds here. He's thinking about it. He's thinking about how he didn't play fair with you. And he's trying to figure out, why did this relationship or whatever it was cause me so much anxiety? And why couldn't I step up to the plate? So he is doing some inner searching right now. And, you know, so he's also kind of expecting you're going to do what most 21st century women do. 2 days from now, you're going to call him and say, hi, how are you?
Mm-hmm.
It'll be like nothing happened.
Right.
So you can't do that, because you have to leave him on the cross here, sweating this out.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And, you know, how are you feeling about it right now?
Today, I feel very strong, but I do have my moments of weakness where I'm like, I was the one who really closed the door that time. So, like, I do have my moments where I'm, like, really down. I'm not going to lie. But today, I mean, I feel like I've been looking forward to this day this whole week. I'm not going to lie. I ended it just on Sunday, and it's been, you know, it was really hard Monday, Tuesday, and then Wednesday. I'm like, I have to call Cindy. I have to call her, and I just have to listen, you know, hear her. I've been just looking forward to speaking to you.
Okay, and again, I see that he's doing a lot of inner searching, that he's really thinking, what was I so afraid of? You know, why did I do this? It's not like he's just like, okay, good, it's over. That's not how he's feeling. He's feeling really bad about it. So he's not feeling hotsy-totsy over here either. And, you know, he's a little worried about money. That's part of the issue that's showing up here. Do you know why he's worrying about money?
No, I thought he was, like, financially stable, to be honest with you. I mean, he always worried about, like, he's like, you know, I don't, if we have kids, like, and we separate, I don't want to have to pay, like, child support. And I'm like, I'm not taking it much financially. I'm stable.
Well, that's really what he's afraid of. He's afraid, can I afford this relationship? What if it doesn't work? Am I going to have to give her child support? I mean, stuff like that was a big, was a big haunting in his mind. And now he's starting
to
think.
Bring that up.
And I'm thinking to myself, when I saw that or heard that from his spirit guides, I go, that's weird. He's thinking about if they have break up and have kids, he's got to pay child support. That's what he's worrying about now, you know. And even he's thinking how stupid I was to worry about that. Like, why don't I just take it one day at a time? And, like, you reassured him, I'm not the kind of person that's after your money. And so a lot of it is fears of growing up here. Like, you know, taking it to the next level. So it's scaring him. But he's starting to feel like there was a big connection here that, you know, that scared him too. There's a very strong soulmate connection here showing up. And, you know, he feels it. And now when he tries to go back out in the dating world, if he tries, it's not going to be so fun. Because when you've lost a soulmate, suddenly being out in that world isn't fun anymore. So I do see him doing some inner thinking. He's got a lot of anxiety going on right now. Because you guys are kind of telepathically connected, because you have such a strong soul connection, some of the anxiety you feel might not be yours, could be his, as he's feeling anxious. So that's why I said, if you all of a sudden you're fine and out of the blue anxiety comes over you, that's not yours, it's his. Please don't call him. Let him call you when he's freaking out, okay? But he really is feeling like you ended this. It's not what he wanted. He wanted to continue this, maybe stall it a year or two. And now he's got to do some soul searching. So the cards on after he does his soul searching are actually pretty positive. So, you know that you had to do what you did. Otherwise, you'd be in this boat for a long time. I mean, did you think that this would be the one that you could have maybe married him? Because it's showing, like, those kind of cards here.
We wanted to have kids. We were talking about kids. I mean, I literally, like, I was like, yeah, we could totally do it.
Right, and that's what ended up scaring him. In the when the beginning of love is so strong, it overcomes fear, but then the fear starts kicking in. So what I saw is he visualized being your husband, having a family with you, too. And then he got scared, and he was listening to some of his stupid friends that are always telling him, don't worry, she'll wait for you, you know, just, like, do what you want to do. But he's really feeling, oh, my God, you know, I don't want to lose her. So let's see what happens with him. Again, if you have a moment, and please don't start drinking, because your generation, what they do is then they get drunk, and they call him up or text him, you know, don't do that. Because if you do, then he's going to think you're bluffing. And sometimes it could take as long as 3 months for a man to kind of, you know, dwell on this and think about it. And what did he do until they come back? So if you know, at the end of 3 months from, you know, Sunday, you would be free to contact him and see how he's doing or if he's changed his mind at all, if he hasn't contacted you. But it looks to me like he will contact you probably in a few weeks, but you have to be strong on it. If you contact him, then he's going to know he can continue to run and not. So be strong. And believe me, he's lost a couple of nights sleep here too. So if you're in
the funny you say that, because yesterday I was like, I had been in a car accident and I didn't have my car. And yesterday he was like always checking in on my car, like the whole situation. And yesterday I got my car back. And like, I'm like, I want to call him so badly just to be like, look, my car. And I kind of like had to stop myself because I was just 2 seconds from doing that. So.
Right. And that's what I'm telling you. Everything will go back, you know, and so you don't want to do that, okay? So be strong and call in again. Call in next week if you're freaking. That's what we're here for. There's probably 100 listeners right now in the same boat. and they need to hear the same thing. Don't call him. Okay? Call
us. Thank you so much,
okay? Who are you going to call? Us.
You guys. I'm going to call you.
Okay, for sure.
Thank you.
Well, good luck to you. We're going to have to hang up because you're going to hang up on us in about a second. Okay, you can call in again, Nancy. Good luck to you. Stay strong.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye. Okay, so we're just about out of time. We got the people we wanted to get in. And thank you, for making sure we got Sharon in because I think it was really important for her to hear from her son today.
And you know what? It's I was talking to a friend of mine too, and it's, you know, that you're hearing about people just dying so much younger, you know, more and more these days. I mean, even this week, I mean, my first love, my high school love, I found out passed away during COVID. You know,
wow.
I mean, and this was, you know, yeah, this was a guy that I was with for 3 years, you know, and it was just, you know, I mean, he was my high school experience. And, you know, at 42, you know, cancer, you know, took him. Another guy that I went to high school with, cancer again. So, you know, I mean, these things are happening for a reason, and we better start taking the cues that the universe is starting to tell us, you know, and you know, throwing out at us before this gets any worse. We need to start putting some more love back into the world.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And, you know, it seems to have been an energy week, not great for a lot of people. So let's hope energetically what's ever going on, next week is a better week for people.
Okay. I hope so.
I just hope so, too. So we'll all
Let's make it so.
Let's make yes, next week is the great energy week for everybody.
There we go.
Well, thank you, Nicole. Good night, everybody.
Good night, Cindy.